that students learn for you, not from you. And learning to be authentic in front of them will allow you to actually have them care.
Hey there, class kickers, and welcome back to another episode of the Kick Some Class podcast, the show that's designed to help you, the educator, kick some class in every area of life, at home and in school. And this episode, I have with me a special guest, Matthew Joseph, and he is a man who wears many hats or has throughout his career. He's got one on right now, so that kind of works. But from a classroom teacher all the way up to district level and also doing the circuits as far as keynote speaking and conferences and all that great stuff, it's really hard to pin all that down. So I'll just welcome you in, Matthew, and we'll chat about that. So welcome.
No, I'm psyched to be here. I'm really excited to chat. I think this is one of the things that we are missing in education, is just having a conversation about education and not having it where you have to take a position on something or defend this or prove something. Just talking to people and learning from each other and just having that open mind to really grow from other people's experiences.
Awesome. And man, you're like fast forwarding my list here. So I didn't,
no, I didn't see the list.
Awesome.
I didn't see the list.
I know. I love that. Which is cool because like I was going to go through, I pulled up X Factor for those of you that, you know, haven't heard of Matthew before. So he's X Factor EDU and you can check him out at mxjedu.com or .net. He's a multiple book author and got into publishing. And so I was going to read off this huge list of connections.
Yeah, don't do that.
And I know, but the question I guess that maybe I have is, of all of those titles and roles that you've been in, which one would you say is like the thing that maybe you feel is closest to hitting that sweet spot of what you feel kind of called to do in education at this point in your life?
So I think where I'm at right now, I am a product of a single mom who, I was a scholarship kid. I was someone who needed all the supports I could get at Springfield College, where I went to college. And then when I got out of school, I didn't get a job right away because I needed some mentoring on how to become a teacher. And every step of the way, I've had somebody there to give me that support, to say, you have the ability, you have the ideas. We need to refine it a little bit. Even back to my high school guidance counselor, the letter she wrote to Springfield College was, you know, he's a diamond in the rough, but needs some polishing. And I think what I've learned through my 30 years in education as, you know, a teacher, a principal, district leader, is that where I find the most success and my calling is to do the same for other people. Because there's so many individuals out there who have a talent or have ability that just need someone to hold the door for them, to let them through, and then to give them some support. And, you know, I appreciate the intro or some of the things that I do. But what I tell everybody is I'm a guy who's seen some shit and I'm just going to share it with you and help you to get where you want to go. Because I've leaned on a lot of people in this field who've helped me. And most of them didn't need to, because we're essentially competition, I guess, as publishers and authors. But I have found it that there's enough for everybody to go around. And for me, I have found the most happiness and success seeing other people start to succeed and have some form of part in that.
Man, you said five things I want to talk about, and I don't know if my brain can even remember them all.
This is why I was like, no list, let's just go. Man, right?
I love it, but you said, in education today, or I won't even go there. I'll say in American society, it's so hard for people, parents, teachers, even students, to accept that. They would see almost what you said, I feel like, as a criticism, a diamond in the rough, but is in the rough, right? Like, of course, we all are. That's the goal of life. But you took it as the push for opportunity. And I feel like sometimes we avoid that. We try to present this perfect persona or to say that we have no weaknesses. And so I just for people like watching or listening, I catch that you don't say that with any negativity, right? It just is what it is.
No, and I do not surround myself with people who claim to be perfect, who who carry themselves as perfect. Obviously, I want driven people who are kind and empathetic and are willing to work and try. I'm a 51-year-old district administrator with my doctorate in education and 4 published books. And I go on to learn from people every single day. And I don't say the credentials in a big time way. I'm saying it in a, people could look at that and be like, you're accomplished. You do this. I love to learn from other people because I have a large gap of things I don't do.
Yeah.
Right. So I am internally driven to be the best. I'm not saying I am by any means, but I can't get there unless I know more things. I don't do a lot in social emotional learning. So I'm always listening. You know, we have that mutual friend, Brian Aspinall. I don't do a lot in computer science. So I listen, I learn from individuals doing it because it's one, free. And two, it only helps me to be better at my current role in my district, but then current role to support our authors at X Factor Publishing.
Yeah. You hit on something else there too, man. It's like,
told you we didn't need a list.
The scarcity mindset, right? Like you had said before about competition, and you know, I found kind of the same thing, you know, I would say as you gave me your book. And so, when we met up at Nicegate and just to kind of read through that PLN 2.0. So I'm going to do poorly and then I'll let you kind of correct me, but the professional learning network, I feel like is something that was not pushed out enough for me. And I'm not blaming anyone, because I probably had opportunity to seek out my own. Here I am 25 years in. Right. And like, not now I'm getting one. And so in the sense of the way you pitch it as a 2.0 in Power of Connections, which is one of his books, why don't I let you use your own words? Like, what is that 2.0?
Sure. So, you know, I was a classroom teacher and I collaborate. I started as a third grade teacher. I actually started as a residential teacher in a boys' school. But when I got into the public schools, I was a third grade teacher. So who did I speak to? The other 3 third grade teachers. One was a woman in her last year of retirement. So she's just like, I'm out. And two have been in the field for 25 years. And here comes this kid who male elementary teacher. And they're just like, yeah, dude, you don't do any of those things. So that was my circle of people for a little bit.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I became a principal that I realized you got to get out of your own zip code. Mm. And we used to do these principal meetups where I live near Foxborough. So we'd meet at Foxborough for lunch and a sponsor would be there. And we'd talk and be like, oh my gosh, I'm going to learn from you. I'm going to learn from you. And it was the best professional development for me. And then when you talked about, you know, supporting other people and you had mentioned Carl Hooker and Adam File, I didn't meet them at the time. The first time I got to do a district, a national event in San Francisco, for Tech and Learning. And I saw them, they're doing their thing, right? They're still doing it. They're up on the stage. And I was envious of that. I admit that. And I talk about envy versus jealousy.
I love that.
I was like, I want to do that. Can you help me? I'm not polished. And instantly there could two paths right there. One, he's going to be competition. Two, we don't have time for this. Or three, they're like, yeah, dude, let's go get a drink. And we've been great friends ever since. Carl writes for me now. Adam's going to write a book. And they pushed me to be better. And we talk all the time. And then there are other people who are like, I don't have that drive, so I'm going to cut you down.
Yeah.
And so the 2.0 piece of this is finding people who aren't exactly like you. No one's going to be like me. Thank goodness for the society. Sure. There's not two of us, but that we each learn from each other and have the strategies and support each other. And, you know, coming on here, I'm going to, you know, we learn on Friday mornings and we learn from each other and learn it in Nicegate, that there's something that if you don't take away something from your interactions, that's a you problem.
Yeah. You probably came in that way, right? Probably came in as if you weren't, you know, once you are intimidated by someone, you've probably closed off. If you take what you called, I got to get it right. Which one, jealousy or envy?
Envy. I'm envious of a lot of things that I want. So I got to work for it.
Awesome.
And I think part of that mentality too, for new educators or new people trying to get into the field or want to be a speaker or want to do whatever it is, I'm a maximize the opportunity person. Every time I do something, I think it's the last time for me, because I grew up as a not having a ton of money. We didn't take vacation. So when we did, I was like, this is amazing. I want to make sure to remember it. I just went to New Orleans for FETC. And I went into that like, this is going to be the last time I'm going to speak. I know cognitively it's not. And I know sure. that might even sound like a little bit of a humble brag, pompous thing. But that's my attitude. I'm going to go in and treat this like it's the last time I'm going to get this. I'm not going to take it for granted. I'm incredibly fortunate to be in this field, to go to these places. And I think that kind of attitude permeates people wanting to connect and going to your 2.0 and learning from that and supporting other people along the way.
Yeah, I love it. And so do you see that? I mean, of course, everybody knows you go to some big event and it's going to trickle back into your experience, probably less than you realize. But what about the people around you in your, I'll call it your day job, right? Like, your, sure. you know, the home environment. How are you seeing it play out in that realm? Because, you know, I look at the same thing. Like I want to speak and train and do those things. And I know it's only going to impact me at home, but there is a different, it's a different vibe with people who've known sure. you for years.
So yeah, my current role is I'm a practicing district administrator. Like I've been in public schools since, you know, 1995, and I'm the director of supervision and evaluation in Brockton Public Schools. And how that connection and PLN 2.0 impacts my current role is it's almost like, because I have had these experiences and very fortunate and honored to have them, it demystifies the fact that someone can do something. So I was supporting a principal this week, and I said, let me see what your staff meeting is, and showed me the staff meeting. And, you know, I'm at the point in my career, I'm like, that is so boring. Like, nobody wants to do that, right? And she looked at me, and she's a first year principal, and she's like, well, I thought this was what we were supposed to do. And I was like, yeah, no. What yeah. do you want to do? And right. and it's in my role now in the connection, how bringing like the events, as you said, into my day job, is to give permission to relax a little, to your staff meeting, let the staff present, let's do this. And because not everybody has that, and I understand that,
yep.
but to come in and say, let's run it like an event, let's run your staff meeting, let's run your PD day where the people get to choose the staff. And they're like, yeah. can we do that? Like, where are these unwritten rules
yeah.
mm-hmm. in education that we have put on ourselves?
Yep.
So I think that's where I've seen the connection piece come into my home, you know, into districts that I've worked in, to demystify the fact that, yes, we can run, you know, choose your own adventure staff meetings. We can allow for teachers to work together in their own rooms, and it still counts. If we're right. focused on the bigger picture and goals for our school, then that's okay.
Isn't it interesting how I say this to a lot of teachers, like you're perpetuating what you experience. Like someone tells you a story and then you become the narrator. We used to use choose your adventure. It's funny. I said that to Carl, actually having some of the same experiences a few years behind you. And he goes, you're dating yourself. And I laughed. I'm like, you know, that's a product of the 80s right there. If you know the choose your own adventure world, but it's funny. Like, don't you realize you can alter the ending? Your class doesn't have to look like the one you sat in middle school if you're a middle school teacher.
No.
And admin does the same. And it's weird. Like, I feel like COVID, it pushed us all to this point where we actually got to choose, or maybe, you know, whoa, I don't want to go back there anymore.
Well, that's what it is. Like, I can't wait to go back to what we had. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
We don't. You really don't.
Yeah, I don't know. So I love that fact. It's funny. I think it's just interesting for me to see it, like in the sense of I see it for teachers, but to know the admin are going through the same, that need to model that freedom. You know, I've talked to many teachers who become administrators, and they say, like, don't teachers know that it's okay to take a risk? Well, they got the memo, but they didn't get the memo, so to speak, you
right.
know?
And the principal has to model that too.
Model. Yes, absolutely. So I love that. Yeah. As I was going through your book I keep it at work, you know, so if I get a minute, I'm just going to read through and awesome. Then think well, about that. I got to tell you, like, that's why I said being 20 some years, this is my 25th year, I'm clearing my schedule. I shouldn't have said that online. No, I'm kidding. For Friday. So I teach every other day, two classes in the morning. And there are some days where that day ends up on a Friday. And I'm like, oh, you know, like trying to run in and get there just because you don't get the same experience when you're in the day to day with the same people. And it's not that they're not amazing people. They're busy. And
right.
You know, and so it's like finding a time to connect with somebody else who's going to talk about something from a different, like you're in Massachusetts, mm-hmm. I'm in New York, the climate's probably fairly similar, but then you've got guys chiming in from Canada and Jen who comes in from Texas. Like, it just is nice to hear that some things are the same and some things have a possibility of being different. So
sure.
There wasn't a question in there. I'm sorry. I realized that's right. That.
And I think for those listening, what Brian is talking about is on Friday mornings, we do an Innovators Lounge where we meet people and talk about topics from across all forms
the
of
world.
Education in the world. And that literally came from writing the book, Power of Connection, because I was like, I'm going to write about this thing if I don't do something
do
that shows how we can do it. And it's great to – some weeks we have three people, some we have 20. And it's just like this. It's a free-flowing conversation. And yes, I host it in for Codebreaker Inc., and it started with the Power of Connections. But I don't think many people really know that piece of it. Not that I care. I'm not saying it like an ownership yeah. side. But it's just morphed into this kind of meetup. And yeah. one of the things I've been pushing, and for anybody listening out there in a district, this is professional development.
Yeah.
I get free professional development from amazing educators from across the globe. We've had people from, you know, India, from NAMI was on.
Yeah.
Brett was on from Australia. Like, we have people from around the globe chime in, you know, George's, I think from England, and just to get a perspective because it makes you better.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, by the time this comes out and you're watching this, you know, on YouTube or listening, Jed Stefanowicz, who is just going to be a couple episodes ahead of you. Like, that's where I met Jed. Actually, the very first time I had to teach. My class got out at 8:59. I literally booked it to my office and everybody was getting off the call. And it was Jed and Chris were still in there. And we talked for about 5 or 10 minutes. And then I was like, oh, man. And, you know, yeah. they're like, no, there were more. I promise there were more. So, but I love that, you know, like it's been great for me and something to look forward to, even if sometimes the topic doesn't hit me where I live, it's still interesting to hear other people kind of chime
in. And the topic usually, sometimes we start with it and go a total different direction.
Right.
And I think that's just the fun of it. And I think, again, bringing it back into our own worlds and profession, like, we have to do more of that, like, have conversations that isn't always around growth data for our school improvement plans. Like, that's going to come, like, as a principal and a district leader now, those are critically important. That's how yeah. we are judged as school leaders or district leaders. But you're going to get there by doing different things. You know,
yeah.
you think about, I don't know, sprinters, let's just say, they don't just sprint, they lift weights, mm-hmm. they do leg days, they walk, they do hills to train for the 100 meters. Like, they don't just do one thing. But in education, we're like, let's just do data analysis and lesson planning. That'll make us better. And we have to be, I'm more of the well-rounded person. I think that's why I do so many things, because I don't do really one singular thing incredibly deep. Like, I'm not an expert on anything, because I want to be kind of an eclectic and have many opportunities and share and learn and grow.
Yeah. It's funny, when I was originally going through my undergrad, I went to Oneonta, which is, you know, in that Catskills region near Albany, New York. And they hired a bunch of middle school and high school teachers to do the methods type classes. And one guy said, if you've ever been golfing, that you need to start teaching with as many freaking clubs as you can in that bag, you know, because you just don't, you can't use the same thing all the time. And at the time, he was talking about relationships with kids, you know, what some right. people would call classroom management, but it turned out to be that's true all over. And so, you know, some people go through their career using that same club all day. And
yeah, that's a good analogy.
You know, and just like that. Oh man, edu borrow. I like that. So it's true. Like, get in, learn from each other. I've been saying it'd be so great. This year is co-teaching. Now I co-teach with a guy, you met him, Joe. We get along great, mm-hmm. and we're both equally as crazy. And there's trust there. So co-teaching together, I'm learning like 10 times faster, because right. there's this bounce off each other. And I think a lot of teachers think co-teaching, well, that means somebody's going to come in and they're going to be judging everything I say. Like, well,
right.
doesn't have to be that, you know? So, no, I don't know. So I'm looking at your books. I got them here on this other little screen, and and I'm a book guy. So what books would you say maybe fed into your, maybe your desire to write, but even the content that you chose to write about? Is there anything like that's just sort of visceral for you?
Sure. So number one, I don't even consider myself a writer. And I don't say that again in any pompous way, because I have a great editor, and I am somebody who's a creator, who has ideas, who's had experiences, and I just like to share them. And I first thought to write a book was when I started with writing articles. So I wrote for Tech and Learning Leader, I wrote for District Administrator, and they were like 1,000-word, 2,000-word blog style writing. Yeah. And I started to get a flow, a voice of how to do this kind of work. And when I did my dissertation at Boston College, I did it on school culture and creating an environment that people feel welcome. Kind of like, I hope I display that in the things I do. But everybody kept saying like, oh, we don't have time for that. Oh, you should just be nice. Oh, that's a Captain Obvious statement. And I was like, yeah, no, collaboration and creating positive environment isn't just expected. There's actual strategies to creating and harnessing positive professional relationships. There's actually strategies to support another person. There's actually strategies to do these things. So I started to write more focused blogs about it. And then somebody came to me and was like, well, why don't you just turn it into a book? So that's where I started. And to be honest with you, the first book I wrote, it was not the best experience. And I think that's why I went into writing and publishing in a different direction. So I wrote the book in my voice. It's the only way I know how to do things. Mm-hmm. It's very choppy, very quick to the point, very kind of free flowing conversation. And I turned it in. I was pumped. Like, oh my gosh, no, there's no books like this. Like I can't wait to see it. Never saw it. It came in the mail and it was like, this isn't me. And then I was like, in my kind of, you know, personality type of, I'm going to show really what I am. And that's where I met Brian Aspinall. And I was like, dude, I just want a book, like a transcript of me talking for 4 hours. And he's like, go. And I was like, you sure? And he's like, yes. And that's where Power Connections, it's in a different voice. It's me kind of telling you stories. It's me sharing pictures. And it resonated with people. And then I was like, this is how, I don't care if nobody buys anything else I do. I need to be honest with myself and the people who I communicate with that this is what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
And then other people started to like that style. And then other people wanted to write like that. And that's kind of where X Factor Publishing came about.
That's cool. It's funny. There's a whole personal development lesson in there, right? That I wish that I could. I hear all these awesome quotes, and then I'm like, I'm not ripping them off because I'm saying it's not me, but I can't give adequate credit. But to get more out of life, you have to put more of you into it. And when I heard that, as I'm listening to this audiobook, it's like, you put more of you is that idea of, you got to know who you are. Like you just said, that book comes back from the editor and it's not you anymore. It may resonate with someone, but not the people who are going to meet you in person in a workshop and go, yeah, now I get it. That's the guy who wrote this because it feels that way. And so I had the opposite experience, right? We got to meet each other and then reading the book, I read it as if you're telling me, which, you know, I'm hoping is a really good compliment, but
yeah,
it's funny how you make that, you know, make that connection and then it feels natural, where it would probably be really awkward if it didn't feel that way.
Right. And I think that's important. Both, you know, the first line in that book is be unapologetically you. And I think that was at a time in my life where I didn't know, I was playing the part of a principal for a while because I thought I needed to be this suit and tie guy. I played a part at workshops, like I'm representing myself. And then it's like, you know what? People are going to talk about you no matter what. Right. You might as well be comfortable in your own skin. And I wear hats. I wear t-shirts with logos on. I do my thing and I'm just happier. Yeah. Happier. Yeah. And it, you know, enthusiasm is contagious and so is positivity. And the more you are that person, there's no surprise when you meet, and there's no like, oh, well, he was all Mr. Formalized in his book, and now he's, you know, having a drink with these people. I didn't, wouldn't expect that. And I never want anybody to say that.
Yeah, man, it's good. Well, it's funny that you, okay. So side point, like you're talking about writing, knowing that you want to meet the people who read it. Like that's the level of connection and the authenticity of your message, rather than saying, I wrote a book, I hope you like it, just please don't ever tap me on the shoulder in public. I don't think any author would ever say that, but you're overtly saying the exact opposite, you know, that you want, if you come across somebody, you just want that to be the same. I think that's a really great testament to what you're writing about.
And I think in the writing is the same thing you had talked about bringing back to your district. I want to let other people know, like, it's okay that if this is a style of voice that you like, it's okay that you don't have an advanced degree, but you have a story to share. And a lot of our authors, you know, have that. And, you know, Lori Keon, who we, you know, we know both, and she's from New York, you know, her book's coming out in a few weeks, and, awesome. You know, and she's like, oh, I'm an ed tech coach. Awesome. Then share that.
Yeah.
Be proud of that. And I think, to demystify what an author looks like, sounds like, is educated like. And because all books are stories. Mm-hmm. I'm not minimizing them. And these are my stories. And I'm not saying they're better than your stories. I'm just saying from my lens, the experiences I've had, here's how you can get better through them.
Yeah, that's awesome. So here I'm coming up to my three questions. They're actually not at all. So anytime anybody goes through like more than a year, right? That first year of teaching is like hell on ice. I don't know if that's a thing, but Disney or somebody should come up with it and travel around. But actually, I don't think that's a Disney quite theme. But
probably not.
So, but you know that first year, man, you're keeping your head above water. And so nobody feels really prepared to be an educator. And I have my own opinions on what we could be doing to change that. But in the midst of it, you catch somebody, it's like August, whatever, and they're about to start their first day on their first real gig in their first classroom. If that's you, rewind the tape. What do you wish someone had like caught you and said, hey, if you got any time left, prepare for go?
That students learn for you, not from you. And learning to be authentic in front of them will allow you to actually have them care.
Yeah, I wanted to leave a little pause there, which is hard for me. Man, we need to think about that, right? Like, oh, yeah. So, like, so much rides on relationships.
I mean, I'm a former principal, and I would tell our teachers, do not open the books until at least day three. Do some fun activities. Do some games. Take them outside. Share something from your own life. Play the guitar. Do something because you're going to make that time up, because kids aren't going to misbehave as much. Kids are going to want to come to school. Like, that time will be made up.
Yeah.
When, again, this goes into the work I did at BC about, if you can create, you know, an environment where kids run to your class, then you're doing all right.
Yeah. So I think the way I'm phrasing that first question, I'm actually asking my second question. So I'm going to try to flip this around. And I want to know, what do you feel like you could have been better prepared for back in the day? Same thing?
Sure. No, I don't think I was as well versed in child development that I could have been. And I was immature, so I just thought I would just do it as me. Mm-hmm. And I was loud. I was an elementary school teacher. I was 6 foot tall, 200 pound man. And I would go in like a coach, and these little young girls would be like, I don't, come on, you can do it. You got this. You, and they're crying. And I'm like, why are they crying? Come on, you got it. Come on. Who wants to cheer on little Jenny? And she's like horrified. Right.
That's awesome.
And I was like, yeah, looking back now, I thought I was doing, I was encouraging, and I showed her I cared, and I was scaring the crap out of her. And I think for me to learn a little bit more about the diverse needs of all the students.
Yeah.
And I think it was just that I didn't know enough. And I, I fell back on what I knew I could do. Mm-hmm. And it's not what she needed. And
yeah.
That's what I could have done better.
I think a lot of teachers, you know, I'll go back to the golf club thing, right? Like, you knew that one club, right?
And yeah.
I feel like I look back and I joke around, like, if I wasn't doing this, I'm not really sure if I would be a stand-up comic or a doctor. And those two probably don't go well together, you know?
Not but at the like, same time.
Hey, you, no, I won't even joke about that. But like, you know, I came into middle school and I thought, all right, I'm just going to be a goofball. And now, to be honest, a lot of this is still present in my style, because in middle school, these kids are just weird and everything is off. And if you can take the pressure, the social attention and pressure off of them by being a moron, because in my 40s, I'm comfortable now finally with that title. They relax and they almost kind of like, they don't want to like you because liking you is not cool, but they do. And so, as you said, yeah, they learn for you. I love that. Cool. So here's my last one. As you know, everything is rapidly changing in education, right? So mm-hmm. we got all this crazy stuff going on. We just talked about AI and ChatGPT and all that stuff. So the question that I'm after is like, with all the shifts, what should we be doing? And I don't like the should on people, you know, but mm-hmm. like when you think about the direction we have all these choices, what's the most valuable one that we need to put most of our chips on, if that makes sense?
Sure. I think I would go with teach students how to think, not what to think. And if we can get students and adults, but you asked about kids, to be thinkers, no matter what the shift is, no matter what's next, if it's pens, if it's calculators, if it's right, Alexa, right. if it's ChatGPT, the skill that is timeless is thinking and questioning and being innovative, because it's fluid.
Yeah.
And when something new comes, ChatGPT, you're not as like thrown off by it because it's like, I don't know what to do. Okay, let's problem solve this. So now the computer is going to answer the question. Okay, we got to have better questions. So that would be the piece that I would say, is that we have to develop thinkers in that, because that is a skill that really crosses all sections of change.
I wish I could find it. I printed it today, actually. I don't print a whole lot anymore. But there's a think tank in your neck of the woods. It's in the Boston area. It starts with a P, and I can't remember. But they just released a survey of the general public and parents and what they think education should be moving towards post-ish pandemic. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting to see what is at the top is almost everything you just said, is the character, critical thinking, and then practical life skills were like 1, 2, and 3. I can't remember exactly the order. And do you know what standardized curriculum, where that was on the list?
Probably not on it, or very low.
44 or 47 out of 50. But if you ask that same question of like the federal level or state level people who make decisions that impact education, it's almost a complete reversal. And it's just, it struck me like that if we really took a step back, and this is probably where I'm pontificating a little bit, and ask the question, what are we here for? Scrap all the stories of the past, what education has always been. I don't care. If you just said, why do we educate kids? What is the goal? I think we'd arrive at something simple and joyful and challenging and easy at the same time.
We outthink the room as educators so much.
Yeah.
Let's break it down. And I think then we make gains.
Yeah. So awesome. Where can people find you and your stuff all over the interwebs?
Sure. I think the best starting point, as I put my Twitter handle down there, it's at Matthew X Joseph, because on there you'll have a link to my website, which will get you to the books in professional development, which will get you to X Factor EDU. I think is probably the home base, at Matthew X Joseph. If you wanted to short link to my website, it's xfactor.link. Those are the two that I share the most, because they're the shortest and they can get you to everything.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you know, at the end, I always end with this line, and it's the last couple of times I've got a chance to weave something else in here. But before I do that, I just want to say thanks, Matthew. It was awesome having you on.
Glad we can make this work.
Absolutely. So regardless of where you are right now in your educational journey, it's up to you to take this episode, find your X factor, and get out there and kick some class. We'll catch you guys in the next one.